Go to Romans chapter 14. That's what I'm preaching from this morning, and how you should be relating to certain Christians. More particularly, Christians who are weak in faith, imposing needless restrictions on themselves. I'm going to read chapter 14 here. Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And this points back to what he just said about the servant relation. This is who you answer to. Verse 9. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother, brother in Christ? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It's good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is the one who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those. I'm in 15:1 now, coming in the next chapter, so now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to build him up. This is back pointing back to the building up that we're called to do again. So prepare your heart for this sermon, food and day restrictions and the weak in faith. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you edify us and build us up. These things that you have had Paul write in Romans apply to us. We need to learn them. You have a reason for it. Whatever that sense is, bring it into us so that you can use it in this day and our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the problem Paul addressed is something that should not normally be a problem. Christians, you, me, Christians, do certain things based on what we think God says to do and what God says not to do. So we're supposed to be that way. But there were Christian Israelites back then who previously lived under the old law, and their generation was transitioning into the new covenant at the end of the old covenant. And the old covenant isn't in effect anymore when Paul writes this. And so Paul said the old law is no longer in effect. He says it in so many places. He says it in 1 Corinthians. He said it all through here in Romans. He says it in Galatians, 2 Corinthians. There's various passages. Hebrews. Nobody knows for sure if Paul wrote Hebrews, but we find it in so many places. The old law is no longer in effect. But some back then were not understanding. They weren't getting it. Very pious people. They love the Lord. They're transitioning in. They're saved through Christ. This particular people just don't understand this part, because here's the part of the problem. The old covenant's fingerprints were still on everything. They're seen everywhere. This is the culture. Old law traditions remained as strongholds for newly saved Israelites, still doing things based on the fingerprints. And so Paul called it being weak in faith. People that did this were the weak in faith. So they had faith in Christ for salvation. Two groups. This kind of group, and there's the other kind of group that was trying to follow the law that weren't saved. Paul's talking about those who have faith in Christ in this group. And so their problem was that they had problems believing that they were free from the fingerprint things, which we are free from. And when it came to foods and observing certain days, the old commands had restrictions. Old covenant people had to avoid certain foods. They couldn't do certain things on certain days. And those were the kinds of fingerprints smudging the cultural landscape. And it was very easy for the weak in faith to think they should do those things to keep on honoring God, because that's what they had been doing to honor God forever, practically, in their mind. But God wants you to know that faith in Christ means you are free from sin, but also from those old kind of law things, too. And there's lots of law things that we're free from. These represent some important ones, but there's lots of them. And faith in your freedom, your faith in your freedom in Christ, is the strong faith. Legalists don't understand that, but that's what it is. It's the strong faith. And you know you have it when you know it's okay to eat those previously banned foods. And you know, when day restrictions are not your ball and chain, you know you have strong faith. They don't affect you. You're not going there. Why? It's not that you're arrogant. It's not that you're not honoring God. You have strong faith. Strong faith knows this freedom honors God. Now today, in our time, the imprint of that old law is a fossil. And you are supposed to look at it. And we are supposed to read the artifact. We're to study it, to understand its historic, its prophetic significance to us. It is God-breathed scripture. But it's not covenant law anymore. And so you grow in faith by being energized in understanding the ministry of the Spirit. That's what we're in. That's 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. It tells you the letters engraved on stone had glory, but now the new covenant glory replaced it. And more powers in Hebrews 8. Tells you the new covenant is a better covenant than the old. And see, Christians who don't plug into that revelation, and you may have known some, I know some even right now. They're not part of this fellowship, but I've been trying to minister to them. What they try to do is draw from an old covenant fossil. There's no life in it. And they're trying to draw from the fossil for new covenant living, life in the Spirit. And what is that doing? It's not strengthening them. It's what's keeping them weak. Weak. They're weak faith Christians. Now back then, some Christians who were weak in faith considered meat available in their area to be unclean because of the old law's restrictions. Either it was not prepared in a kosher way, or it was meat from, you know, animals that were considered unclean. And so by eating only vegetables, because Paul's not talking about just people that have decided to become vegetarians and God's opposed to that. That's not what he's trying to say. When Noah did come off the ark, God did say, eat from all the animals in the same way that your great-grandfather Adam and Eve ate from all the plants. That's right there in the Bible. But that's not what he's talking about here. These people, by only eating vegetables, they thought they were playing it safe. You see, they thought they would do it for the Lord, and they'd be giving thanks to the Lord, and that way they can avoid all this meat that they were afraid of. But here's the thing. It was an unnecessary weight that was just bogging them down. And worse, it's spiritually confusing. That's very huge when we do this kind of stuff. Weak faith stuff always does that. And the old law said, rest on the last day of the week. Stop doing everything. The Sabbath day, that's what it's called. And it also prescribed other Sabbath days, many of them, and feast holiday times. Some observed those days as being above other days to honor God. But the true realization is that if you go down that route, you're walking in mud. And you're tainting honor to God in the newness of the new. You're muddying a clear understanding of the stark break and elimination of the old covenant law as a living jurisdictional force. And it's not our job to try to keep it alive. And we are not called to have faith that it is still alive, because that's weak faith. So get this right. When Paul said in the Lord Jesus, nothing is unclean in itself, Don't think he's talking about rotting food, food with dirt in it, poisonous food, you know, or food that's deficient nutritionally. A lot of people have tried to use these types of scriptures for that. That's not what he's saying. The Spirit's saying you don't have to worry about there being any covenantally defiling food. There isn't any. There's no spiritually defiled food either. Your freedom is so freeing. Get this. Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 30, he's addressing something similar. He says over there, 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 30, that you can even eat meat that the idol worshipers have left over from their demon worship. Yeah, and I know he's talking about demon worship because he says in that chapter, what they sacrifice to demons. Now, if that kind of leftover meat is sold later in the meat market, that's what he says, you can buy it and you can eat it and God's okay with it. That's in 1 Corinthians 10. And it says a thing sacrificed to idols is nothing anyway. It says idols are really nothing to Christians, so they're nothing to you and me. So it says, go ahead and eat leftover sacrificed meat sold in the market because, here's what he says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. He says that if you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So it's just food. It's clean for you and your strong faith. Now here in Romans 14, 20, Paul says all food things are clean, accepted by God as simply food things. And the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking anyways. What is it? It's righteousness, which comes in Christ, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you get all of that without these kinds of restrictions. That's important because he says it's righteousness. And a lot of people thought those two things were part of a righteous act. These people were trying to honor God. And 2 Corinthians 2:16 has the same truth. 2 Corinthians 2:16. It says, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a feast day celebration, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. And it says that all that stuff is a mere shadow of what is to come anyway. And it says the true substance of any of it belongs to Christ Jesus. So the big urging is to get into reality. Don't chase any of that shadow spirituality. And sometimes it's extremely popular. I'm finding that it's growing right now. There's whole movements that are starting to get back into all of this kind of ritual stuff, thinking that it's honoring God, observing all these, you know, ancient Israelite days and avoiding all the certain kinds of foods. Now, I also want to pour a little bit of Galatians 4, 9 into this. It was also to Israelites, and they were transitioning in the new covenant, okay? And it says here, it says that in that passage, Galatians 4, 9, now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak, Paul says, and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? He's talking about weak faith stuff. And you know what he called it? Observing those days and months and seasons and years. So recognize the problem. Observing days, months, seasons, and years is turning back to the weak faith, worthless things that just enslave you and literally waste your time. And they're spiritually confusing. They're not your true strength. Freedom in Christ is your true strength. Now, though this is a problem, be careful about another area of life in Christ Jesus. Our life that we actually have. This kind of thing can become fertile ground to judge someone's weak faith opinions to mean they must not be saved. And I have crept over into this kind of thinking. So I'm just telling you, I'm guilty of what I'm trying to say we shouldn't do. We are in a lot of danger of holding these people in contempt. And so here's what Paul says. Accept those self-shackled people, but not for passing judgment on their opinions about food or day restrictions. Now, Paul doesn't mean ignore their opinions, okay? He means accept the Christian as a Christian, but weak. Tolerate them to help them. That's what you want to do. Well, you say, well, how do I do that? Well, pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of that person. I get that right here. That's our instruction. See, this is what the Lord's telling us. Don't instantly pass judgment on their opinion like it must be a salvation issue. You know, like, well, they must not be saved because they're into all this weird stuff. No. Now, of course, you don't shut down discernment. That's not what Paul says here. The warning is to have a strong love with your strong faith. Don't judge them, okay? You have the power in this controversy. You're the one with it. You know that in the Lord, nothing's defiled. And so with you, you have the spirit, you have this sensitivity, you need to be sensitive, and you need to be thinking, well, they're doing what they're doing for the Lord. They think they're serving Him, and it's just that they're confused. They're weak. Think of them like they're hurting, carrying a fossil around on their shoulders, heavy, heavy weight. And so accepting them as Christians doesn't mean that you have to agree with all their views. It means that you see their true intention, though they're in error, while showing them love that you have from Christ. So enjoy your own freedom in Christ, but be very careful with judging the weak. Don't think that their needless honor attempts are the same as relying on works to earn salvation. It's a very go-to thought. I have it a lot when I find these kinds of people. And so I've got to be careful. I'm preaching to myself too here. You know, Paul did not say that this particular type of person was trying to rely on works to earn salvation. And he has a lot of other chapters talking about those who do this kind of thing who are trying to be, thinking that that's the righteousness of, that brings salvation. But he says these people are honoring God in what they thought is true sanctification. All Christians care about sin and sanctification and God-honoring acts, okay? Weak faith Christians just happen to think food and day things are part of it. So we've all got to be careful. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be straightforward with you. Those people can be very irritating. I don't know if you've ever run into these kind of people. And I think this is part of the reason why Paul says, try not to hold them in contempt. He actually says, don't hold them in contempt. But here's the thing, it goes both ways. The one who does not eat meat must not judge the one who eats either. The one who does not observe the day. See, God has accepted all of us in Christ. So if Jesus is your Lord, whether you are doctrinally perfect or not, well, then you need to understand the Lord's able to make you stand, make them stand, make us all stand. And if they're never fully convinced, who do they answer to? They answer to the Lord. And the Lord can make them stand, Paul says. Well, yeah, this is so true. So here's, I think, what we're being urged to do. Put them in the weak faith category, not in the no faith category. Unless, of course, they do deny salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. Now it's a different category. So we're going to have to be wise on this, have to be discerning. And for you, food is for taste, it's for nutrition. And like you, the saved but weak, thank God for His provision. So even if it's only vegetables, they thank God for them. Now, maybe you live for the Lord in a more doctrinally correct manner. Good for you. But remember, all of us imperfect Christians are still the Lord's property. We still belong to Him, which means we are all the righteousness of God in Christ. So you can try to reason with weaker faith Christians. It's difficult. It's very difficult. I'm telling you. Just be careful about judging their opinions as necessarily proving they're unsaved. Now, of course, you got to be concerned. Paul's not saying don't be concerned. He shows it in the things he's written over and over again that he has the kind of concern. Because the influence of those people can weaken others. And I've seen that happen too. I mean, I've seen people jump on the weak faith treadmill and they just run headlong into bondage. And so that's a big reason why we can want to hold those people in contempt. It irritates us. It makes us angry. But then you might be a weak faith Christian. And if you are a weak faith Christian, you better not judge us who are strong in faith. Burdened people are known for holding us who understand our freedom in contempt. It is a thing. But we are the ones abiding in the fullness of the new covenant revelation. We have the strength. So Paul says, we all need to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that we're all going to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 45. Every knee will bow to the Lord, and every tongue will solemnly swear to the Lord together, which is what we do now. This is our commonality. All of us confess by the Spirit. We all love the Lord, so we're doing what we're doing for the Lord. So here's the thing. We're all going to give an account to God. So we need to be very careful not to judge another's salvation based on these kinds of things. And so knowing all this, how do you proceed? Well, there are loving biblical ways for all of us to go forward in togetherness. If you're entertaining any of this kind of weak faith stuff, here's how you go forward. Quit it. Just stop doing it. Throw off all these unneeded burdens. If you're influencing others to do it, realize you're bringing people under bondage. You're spreading spiritual confusion. And God does hold you accountable. Are you strong in faith? Well, accepting the one weak in faith as a brother or sister means you are accountable too. You're accountable for your strong faith. So manifest the fruits of the Spirit in faith. Be patient in faith. Show real grace in strong faith. Act in love. That's the calling. Lovingly share the new covenant freedom truths of the apostles with that person. You can do that. Now, I'll say again, from my own experience, it's a very difficult process to do with people who like being weak in faith. Now, they'll tell you they're not weak in faith, but they are. But you can share passages like this one. You know, you can try to tell them, look, the stuff you're trying to do is not what we are told to do in the New Testament. It's not an imperative from God for His people under the New Covenant. You can tell them that. You can try to show them. You can pray for those people. Maybe that's it. Pray for those people. You can always do that. And ultimately, if they want to stay weak, you're going to have to let the Lord deal with them. Now, it doesn't mean we allow them to teach or influence others with error. But don't hold them in contempt as you try to help them become free. That's our part. That's ministry. That's building up. Now, with that said, there are Old Covenant law enthusiasts who are in a different category, and they have less than weak faith, and they do not have faith in the true gospel. They do not believe in the pure grace in Christ alone as His work alone for spiritual salvation. And those people are religious acting like the Judaizers of Paul's day, and they exist in our day. They even will call themselves Christians. So they will try to observe all kinds of things in the old law, thinking that they're earning favor with God. And this is the thing, the problem with them. They are religious, but they're religiously lost, just like the Judaizers of Paul's day. So they're fake Christians. And they need to be spiritually saved. They need to embrace the gospel because they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the good news. So understand that they are different from the weak in faith who honor Christ as Lord. That's who Paul's talking about. So for you, the way we proceed, stay strong. Your calling is to patiently love while you do your best to live what you learn. You're God's light. He has you shining. Trust that God can make others stand even if you can't. And so, as you do, approach all Christians, those you agree with, those you disagree with, approach all Christians with sensitivity. Try not to put an obstacle in these particular people's way. Don't put an obstacle in anybody's way. But this part about putting an obstacle has to do with the day and has to do with the food stuff. You know, and this part is very tough because it has to do with your freedom. God says, go the love route in wisdom, even though you are free. It's about the way you approach things. And God always comes back to us when He's talking about these things, to the you part. You know, you're not the one bogged down in this stuff. It's how you react about it. And so you see that they're thinking that something's unclean, though wrongly, but to their mind, it is unclean. Now remember, He's talking about Christians who are trying to honor God with just a couple of things. Day observance and avoiding certain foods. Well, don't take that kind of thing now and turn your freedom into an opportunity for your own flesh. Don't use your freedom in a mocking, hurting way. You can try to justify that kind of arrogance by doing whatever you want and then just say, well, you know, that was my strong faith coming out. That's my freedom. You know, that's my freedom. I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. Okay. But what would love do? It's not trying to hurt. It's trying to help. And, you know, this really does require the Holy Spirit's guidance. In your strong faith, you logically want to show that the old law has no influence over any of us. You want God's truth to sink into their lives. You want it to fix their false beliefs. That's ultimately what you want. So you must remember, you have love from the Spirit, and that is also your strength. So love and trust God to work. That's what it means to try not to destroy. Paul says, try not to destroy with your food the person for whom Christ died. You see what he means there? He says, don't let what is a good thing for you be spoken of as evil by them. Try to approach others in a way that you're not giving them things to speak of you as evil. And so what you're showing is you're going forward in the way of love that pursues the things which make for peace and the building up of that person. And what it is, it's the kingdom of God that you're showing, the true kingdom. Because remember what he said? This is the kingdom of God, not what they're into, but show them what it is. And show them that the kingdom of God is what you're doing. It's not the eating and the drinking part. It's the righteousness and the joy and the peace and the love. And it's the strong faith. And they know that you know the word. So they're seeing what it means to truly serve Christ according to the truth. This is what Paul's getting at here. Your love, my love, is what is acceptable to God. Your love is what is approved by others. So always go the love route. Even when you correct people, always pursue what makes for peace and the building up. I mean, there's a way of correcting people. It's not peaceful. I'm telling you right now, it's all about tearing down. That's not what we're called to do. So stay calm. Yes, teach. But do it in that way that's not tearing down the work of God just because it's a food or day issue. Really? A food or day issue? Come on. It's the kingdom. So know this. When you have strong faith, there is a stronger responsibility on your part. This is our high calling. And you can make the clean things become evil for yourself, Paul says. It's what he says. And if it becomes evil for you, how does it do that? If you're trying to be offensive in your freedom. So don't be a freedom fighter on a crusade, getting pleasure in offending weak faith Christians. I actually know some brothers and sisters that think this way and do this kind of stuff. It really is best for you not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything by which your brother or sister in Christ stumbles. What God wants, here's what he wants us to be. And this is worship. This honors him. This is worship. Be love to them. Be love. Be the one who bears the weakness of those without strength. Pleasing your flesh, that's not the goal. Pleasing your neighbor and the wisdom of what the scripture says here is part of your approach. It's just an approach in ultimately reaching the goal. You're not giving in to them and to their beliefs. You're not agreeing with the weak faith. All of this that Paul's talking about is about disagreement. But what you're doing is you're loving them in your strength and you're showing them the way the Spirit is really working in this covenant. It's not engraved on a fossil. It's engraved in your heart, man. And this is what you're bringing out. And what you're trying to see is you're trying to see them ultimately have strong faith in their freedom too, right? And that's in Christ. Amen? So, in a nutshell, we are called to be aware that weak faith people are bogged down with things like food and day restrictions. Really are bogged. And it involves even a bigger list of problems, but it's not understanding our break with the old covenant law. That's the fundamental. And more than likely, you're going to have to go to a different planet if you're to stay away from a Christian like that. Because if you're around a lot of Christians, you're going to run in. They may not tell you that they're like this, but you're going to run into somebody. Be careful not to judge their weak faith as necessarily meaning that they're without faith in Christ. They may be. They may be. But that doesn't mean that they are just because they're doing this stuff. So don't hold them in contempt. Discern the situation. Try to be an example. Love all believers by accepting those brothers and sisters in Christ. Manifest the Spirit's fruits. Let him produce patience and grace outwardly to them. Try not to put a stumbling block in their way. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for your flesh. Don't let the good things for you and your freedom be spoken of as evil. See? Bear the weaknesses of the weak. Do everything for the building up, not for tearing down. And the faith which you have as your own conviction before God.